529th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Heidi Ho Degenerinos, and welcome to episode 529 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to my boy Ryan H. Ryan H. and I are basically the only inhabitants of Hibas Island who think that Amanda Hibas might have won last night's fight. I would be the other inhabitant, Jeff Chalks Fox. I don't feel strongly enough to get in a big, massive debate about it, which probably would be good for the show if I did, but I just thought, you know, it wasn't as slam dunk as everyone else seems to think. And yes, we are talking about UFC and ESPN Hibas versus Nama Yunus, aka UFC Vegas 89, aka, in the words of our friend Jong, UFC Bite Night, which he wants the episode called. And I think I will. Usually I don't take suggestions for episode titles other than from Gumby, but UFC Bite Night may have to stick. An interesting night, to say the least, in the Octagon last night. Yeah, people got bit. People got tattoos of bites, all in one fell swoop. A lot of decisions, a lot of submissions again. Well, not a lot, but a few submissions. Yeah, it was interesting night all around. And I didn't realize until I did the recapping later on, Gumby Vreeland. He had himself a night. Boy, oh boy. I didn't do so great myself, but yeah, Gumby had, he fell into a slump and then snapped out of it. But where he really shines is the regional MMA, which will be tomorrow. And surprise, Tuesday, we're squeezing another Tuesday episode in this week. So let's bring him in now. I'm not going to drag his name through the mud because, like I said, I didn't do well either with a lot of my with my straight up picks at the very least. I hit my prop, so that was nice. But it's one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
That's our our most listened to YouTube short right now is, yep, Jeff doing his Amanda Hibas impression, except for the grandma content. The grandma content. Yes,
grandma content. Yeah, it's true.
And not great this week, but it was one of those fight cards where we're like, oh, all the lines are real close, so we're probably going to find some good ones. Why did it just zoom in on me? Did you see this?
Because you're better looking, more than likely. No.
Don't like that.
There you go.
And there we go. All right, cool. Yeah, that's weird. Now we're experimenting.
See, if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you would know what we're talking about right now. So make sure you subscribe.
My head got bigger there for a little bit, even though it should be smaller after that performance. So we had said that the lines were close, which sometimes means exploiting them and sometimes means people fight like Kurt Hollebaugh did yesterday, which was bad.
Yeah, there was a lot of people who didn't perform the way they normally do and the way that we predicted they do. More importantly, the way we predicted, which made us look like we don't know what we're talking about. I assure you we do, but yeah, I don't know. And I have a new number one most hated fighter. Like, I got so angry watching this man fight the kickoff of the night. Oh, Muhammad Usman made me so angry. Like, oh, he's so bad.
Where are the takedowns?
So bad. He does nothing. He throws this, tries to do a stupid Superman punch the whole fight. Like, it's all he was doing.
It was real weird.
And when he did throw punches, he almost knocked out Mick Parkin. So maybe you should throw punches. I know you have muscles and it's going to make you tired because Joe Rogan says so. But
Joe Rogan told me that would happen.
Yeah, throw some punches, dude. Throw some punches. You're the motor. Anyhow, should we go to the main event? Do you think it was closer than the 49-46, 49-46, 48, 47 cards gave it to Rose Namajunas?
I think it was the 48-47, I think was the right card. I gave round five to Hibas. I know two of the judges.
Rose pretty much punted that round, but she outstruck her by a strike, but still it was all like pot shotting from the outside and running away. So
yeah,
I think Hibas won the last three. Even round four, she was doing more damage from the bottom. And I knew she wasn't going to win. That's the thing. I should say that, but I would score that for her because she was throwing the elbows and she was looking for submissions, and Rose was like doing some body shots and not much.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's harder to see the damage of the, because I scored that round for Rose. I think it's just harder to see the damage that a body shot lands. You know, like you don't see the head move. You don't see the bruising. You don't see the bleeding and stuff like that. You know, so like I think she probably did enough work to the body. Like if she wasn't throwing any of those shots to the body, I'm with you. I'm right there. I'll give it a heebus because you don't give it just based on control. But I do think she was doing enough on top that was like if you asked who was closer to finishing that round, first of all, neither of them were, but it was probably Rose Namajunas with her positioning and her shots to the body. I gave 3 to Rose. Four to Rose.
Four to Rose. Rose. Yeah.
Yeah. Three and a 5 to Rebus. Yeah. And then 1, 2, 4 to Rose is the way I had it.
Yeah. But I'm really off the Rose Namajunas train. Like she's not interested in seeing her fight now. She doesn't do much. She always seems strange. She has maybe decent coaching, but Pat Barry's still in her corner. So it's strange game plans. Yeah, I'm not on her as a top fighter anymore.
Do you want to hear some matchmaking ideas I had in the wee hours of the morning? Because this card went forever and I fell asleep.
Yeah.
How about Rose Namajunas versus Maisie Barber?
That would be interesting.
Yeah, you know I hate Maisie Barber. even though I picked her as my lock of the week for her last fight. But like, you know, both of them are talking about getting the winner of Manon Firo versus Aaron Blanchfield, which like both of you need to take a step back for a second because the winner of that's getting a title fight.
Yeah.
Rose already lost to Manon Firo, and she's like, I'm gonna be watching that winner closely. And it's like, you got beat by one of those people. And like if Aaron Blanchfield beats Manon Firo, who beat you, she's certainly not going to fight you after you beat Amanda Ribas. So I think that's like the right tier matchup for her. And Maisie brings enough of a fight. Man, you're going to make me say nice things about Maisie Barber. But like Maisie Barber brings enough of a fight that makes me say like, oh, I don't even think Rose would be able to do that kind of like boring ass style that she brings.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I think I feel about Mo Usman what you feel about Maisie Barber, or felt about Maisie Barber. Your feelings are changing. Her fights are better now.
She's better than I thought she was. I still don't like her. You can't take the mic out of Roxanne Modafari's hands and make me like you. There's no way that happens.
You can't take the hate out of Gumby's heart. It's true. This isn't the Maisie Barber podcast. More often than not, it is, but today it's not. So, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't surprised that Rose won. I wasn't even while I was watching the fight, as I stumble away trying to talk, I wasn't surprised that she got the decision as well. So, I know Ryan and I were on island, and like I said, it was close enough that I'm not willing to go to battle over that. I'm not willing to go to battle with either of the men in the co-main event, even though Carl Williams isn't very good. I still... I'm not a professional fighter, and I'm old, so I wouldn't fight him. But yeah, Justin Toffa came closest to finishing the fight, but he got taken down. Carl Williams won 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. We took a stab at Toffa. I think it was a worthy stab because, he came very close to finishing the fight.
Yeah, I don't think you could feel really great about, what was it, Carl Williams, -230 by fight time there. Like, I don't know that I would be, you know, getting all jacked up on that spot. But is Carl Williams a ranked heavyweight? Just I was filling out my rankings this morning.
He's won what, 3 straight? 3 in the UFC?
And I was trying to figure out who goes in at 15. And let me tell you something. I had it down to Carl Williams and Marcos Rogério de Lima. And
yeah.
Like, what even are these
rankings? Hard times. we're in hard times in heavyweight, yeah. Not much to say about that fight, right? Does what Toffa does, and
Williams does what Carl Williams does. Out.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. So you don't have any fantasy matchmaking for Carl Williams?
I think in order for it to be fantasy matchmaking, we have to want it to happen.
And we'd have to take Carl Williams out of the equation too, as well, right? So, All right. One thing that's not a fantasy, but it seems like it could be, is cut. That's a really good transition. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features. They give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Get on there, check out all the SGPN custom bets that are up there, and you download Cut today in the App Store over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. And use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And of course, our friends at Underdog Fantasy are on board as well with us. They are the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Gumby and I are on there pretty much every day, checking out the odds, writing articles for sportsgamblingpodcast.com about NBA underdog picks for you. If you haven't been on there before, check it out. They got every sport, including MMA. And all you do is pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick'em entry. You pick higher or lower on whatever stat the offer that you were interested in. So basketball, it's, you know, points, rebounds, points plus rebounds, all that type of stuff. MMA, it's takedowns, strikes, things in that nature. And you can win 100 times your money. Boom. In a single night. It's not like fantasy sports. We have to take like a whole season. No, one night. So sign up today with promo code MMASGPM and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with the promo code of our show, MMASGPN, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right, we're just going to rip through this card because it was inconsequential, and the results pretty much were inconsequential as well. And Gumby's results were not good. So we don't. And my, like, I went 7-6. Okay, I'll tell you right off the bat, I didn't do so hot myself.
Five and eight for me.
5-8 for you. Yeah. Back to old times when we used to be mediocre. People expect more now.
The mediocre boys.
Mediocre boys are back. Haven't been around for a bit. So yeah, Gumby got the main event, whiffed on the co-main event. I missed on the top two fights. Shabazian, we had this one right, but we almost didn't. Evan Shabazian almost got knocked out by AJ Dobson, but then he knocked him out himself, which I was thankful for. We had Shabazian -190, and then I had him via knockout +155. So I look like a genius, but Shabazian still does not look like a good fighter anymore.
He's bad, right?
Like, yeah. AJ Dobson almost finished him.
I don't think there's ever been a fighter in the history of the UFC who I've gone through more ups and downs as to whether or not they're good than Edmund Shabazian. Because when he like came through, I had like the same, I like felt about him like I felt about Nassourdine Imavov, right? Like, this is a interesting enough guy with a bunch of wrinkles at middleweight, and you know, it's middleweight. So like, let him eat. And then immediately after that, I was like, oh, this guy's terrible. He's one of the worst middleweights in the world. And then shortly thereafter, he changed camps and he came back, and I was like, oh, maybe he's figured it out. And now I'm back to being like, okay, he won, but he also, like, it's one fight right after another with Shabazian, and it never makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, his last two wins are AJ Dobson, Dolcha Lugimbula. And then you have to go back to 2019 for Brad Tavares, which isn't that hot either. Jack Marshman, Charles Bird.
Know. Brad Tavares is always a good win, though. I know. You know, like,
he knocked him out too, which is impressive.
Yeah, nobody knocks out Brad. And that was probably one of the times where I was like, this dude is amazing. And then he proceeded to get like manhandled in his next fight.
I think the key is that is his top win, though, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fights he's had in the UFC. So they built him up properly, but he didn't clear any of the hurdles when they gave him a step up in competition.
Yep.
The devil's advocate would say, oh, he's only 26, but I think it's more important that he's had 17 fights already, pro fights, and he's been in the UFC for 5.5 years. So I think we've seen what he's going to be, and now if he's going to get wobbled by AJ Dobson. Yeah. Who was like way too quick for him. Yeah.
I'm still selling stock. I still don't know if he's good or not. Or, you know, I think I said a second ago, I think he's definitely bad, but I'll never know. And then, but he is training at Extreme Couture. I feel like he's been there long enough that Eric Nixick's magic should have already worked by now.
But he had a lot of that stink on him from Edmund, the other Edmund.
And he still weirdly got his brother in his corner, which, like, I know it's just one cornerman, but like, I would really want, if you're making that change to like one of those big gyms, because you need like that big gym coach that's going to like turn things around, wouldn't you want him in your corner? You know, and not somebody who was with you before you made the change. It's just kind of a weird move to me.
Yeah, like having Pat Barry in your corner.
Yeah, that's
probably not
terrible.
The greatest thing either. So
nope.
All right. This man, I'm in for. I'm all in for Peyton Talbot, even though he has like a wormhole tattoo. His tattoo is very freaky, isn't it?
He's very galaxy brain, I think. I think he's a galaxy brain guy. Yeah.
He's true. But man, good fighter. Took care of Cameron Simon, which Gumby is happy about, I'm sure. TKO punches 21 seconds into the second round. You might think, oh, we had Talbot minus 145. I'll get that out of the way. You might think, oh, that's only 5 minutes, 21 seconds. Cameron Simon probably didn't have time to commit any fouls.
Oh no, he did.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, he hasn't fouled yet. And right after I said that, he kicked him in the crotch. So I'm like, okay, there we go. And then the announcers tried to... he's just young and excitable, like he's a puppy and he can't control himself. But yeah, Cameron Simon still fouls nonstop. We finally reached the water reached his level, or whatever that expression is with him. I think we know that he's really not that great. And Peyton Talbot, I think we know that he is great. Maybe not great yet, but he's very good.
I think the best part about him is it seems like a commitment to wrestling and anti-wrestling, you know, sort of to make sure that this fight stays on the feet. You know, like, they kept drawing comparisons to Sean O'Malley, and I really don't think they're that unfounded, really. Like, when you look at him, he's got that perfect frame for it. I mean, even ignoring the hair, he's got the perfect frame for it.
That's right. I didn't think about the hair part.
But like a rangy striker. We've seen some really great scrambling out of him early, which maybe we didn't even see that early in Sean O'Malley's career. You know, like, I think there's a lot of positives for him there. Of course, you know, like, I still need to see him against a bigger step up, because, as you know, I've been a huge naysayer of Cameron Simon. I don't think he's as good as people crack him up to be. So I think this win is a little bit less good than a lot of people out there are touting. But I will say the performance that went along with it, and the aggression, and his, like, you know, unwillingness to take a step backwards on Cameron Simon because he doesn't respect him, that's a huge feather in his cap.
Yeah. No, it's a win over another young prospect. So that, you know, given that's what we don't really want, Peyton Talbot being rushed up too much, especially at bantamweight. It's a super deep division. So he's 25. He can kind of take his time. Where does he train? He's listed at Reno,
Nevada. It's some gym that I've never heard of. I interviewed him right before he was on Contender Series. And he was talking about like the choice to move down to Reno to get more individualized attention instead of like the big gyms in Vegas. So, and I think he's, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure he's from Reno too. So like, it was his decision to not go up to Vegas and train, to stay down at Reno and find like a gym that's just for him, which, like, that's really worked for some guys. It's blown up in the face of other, right? Like, Brian Battle continues, despite being the only guy in the UFC from his gym, to like get really good training and to make huge progress. So maybe it's the right thing for Talbot here too.
Yeah, it seems not to be a one-size-fit-all thing, a cookie-cutter thing for training. Some people, you know, Team Pooh Bear seems to work, but then, you know, other people need the top-shelf UFC, you know, ATT, you know, 100 people in the UFC to train with. But yeah, Talbot, very interesting guy to keep an eye on for sure. Going forward, definitely, especially bantamweight just keeps getting better, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, the prospects are plentiful for there for sure.
Sure is. Featherweights, Yusuf Salal broke our heart. He also broke my stats that say you don't take a guy on short notice, especially a guy re-debuting in the UFC on like less than 2 weeks notice. I think it was like 13 days notice to be exact. But yeah, boy, this wasn't a fluke win for him. He just totally dominated. My lock of the week, may I add, Billy Quarantillo. I even wrote an article, a couple articles touting him on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So yeah, Yusuf Salal. Joke's on me. He submitted Billy Quarantillo, rear naked choke, almost had him submitted in the first round, ended up finishing him a minute 50 into the second round. Just totally dominated him. Looked good on the feet. Like, he wasn't, I was thinking he would be outclassed in the feet, but that wasn't the case. Look in the feet, and obviously grappling is where he makes his hay, and he definitely did last night.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, he comes from a kickboxing background, right? If I'm not mistaken, but you're right. He had, in his first stint in the UFC, had kind of gotten away from that, right? Like, you know, I'm thinking of the fight with the big dude from Fortis MMA, Austin Lingo. You know, his fight with Austin Lingo, that was entirely him getting the wrestling going. And, you know, he trains at Factory X and has kickboxing in his background. Like, he should be doing more of what he did. And then to do that, and then like basically embarrass Billy Quarantillo on the mat, you know, really, really impressive win by him. You know, I saw some people say stuff about Billy Quarantillo possibly being hurt, Yusuf Zalal already being in a training camp because he knew a fight was coming. Yeah. You know, like, I guess those things could have been weighed in, but I still don't think you can say that a guy who did 13 days of preparation for Billy Quarantillo is going to run through him like that. But that's exactly what he did.
And a guy that UFC already deemed not worthy of the UFC too. That's, you know, something of note, but he's proven since left the UFC, he finished three straight dudes, and yeah, he looked really good. And as Gumby said, the odds really dramatically shifted. Almost, it was basically a pick 'em. It was like, we had Quarantillo at like -120 or something when we recorded midweek, -130, and yeah, it dropped because he was holding his arm weird at weigh-ins, and he says he's just a weird dude. His arm wasn't hurt.
I mean, he is.
His arm didn't seem hurt. Yeah,
I've interviewed him too before. He is just a weird dude. Like, but I don't know if that's why his arm was like that. And yeah, I don't think it was an injury. I think you know, I think you see a lot of these like gambling chats out there.
Too much.
You know, I think everybody just wants to look like the hotshot who's got hot insider information. And let me tell you something. Do you know how hard it is to get insider information about what's going on in somebody's fight camp? It's damn near impossible unless you're in that fight camp yourself. And there isn't like 1,000 people out here trying to leak an injury on Billy Quarantillo. So the idea that somebody out here has that information, that it's usually just noise.
Basically, if you don't hear it from James Krause, then take it with a big grain of salt, right?
Yeah, I mean, always try to get information from James if he can.
For some reason, he's gone radio silent for about a year or so.
Yeah, weird. It's weird. Hey, although not really. I mean, he was gone last night. He was not there, but like all of his markings were there. Two of his former disciples in their new gym both picked up wins.
He was there in spirit.
Yeah. Trey Ogden and Miles Johns are both Marathon MMA guys, which is the offshoot of Glory Kickboxing.
That's right. That is right. All right. Before we move along, we're doing a brisk pace this event because it was so fun. We want to get it over with. Game Time, ladies and gentlemen. Game Time is the spot. If you did happen to win money last night, Gumby and I, well, maybe Gumby did in real life because he doesn't bet $100 in every fight. He's smarter than that. But for some of your winnings, maybe you're winning money on the madness that's going on now. Go to Game Time. You don't have to spend too much money, though, because Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals. You can forget plenty of months in advance. Game Time has deals and tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, MMA, and more. Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. I was just on there looking at concert tickets, and they have, like, you can get discounts, you can get 10% off stuff. They have a whole bunch of good stuff. You're not just, like, paying scalper prices, quote unquote, for the stuff. You're getting discounts. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's keep ripping through this card. I guess there actually was some decent fights now that we go through it. It wasn't like it was bereft of good fights. It just, you know, most of these fighters either aren't ever going to matter or they're a few years down the line still. The opener of the main card, I got this one over Gumby. Fernando Padilla, the favorite, came through, and boy, he swarmed Luis Pajulo, ended up bravo choking him. That's something I don't get to say very often. 245 into the first round.
Yeah, interesting too, because Pajuelo has been really durable so far in his career. And I don't know if that's just because on Contender Series he fought Robbie Ring. No offense to Robbie Ring. He could be my stray shot of the day.
We should have that.
We should have a little sound effect of that. Gumby, stray shot of the day. Pow, pow, pow.
It can't be a gunshot, remember?
Oh, yes, yeah, because I got crap. Having that as a sound effect in my other podcast. Yeah, like the only negative review on my other podcast is gunshot sounds in like episode 4. And we're on like episode 500. maybe as he's fighting guys like Robbie Ring and people on the Peruvian, you know, regional circuit, and like maybe that's why he was durable. But Fernando Padilla is kind of like a weird, I mean, he's a weird shape. He's got weird amounts of power. It seems like he's good at some things, but not good at other things. And it was just the right combination on the right day here. He looked pretty darn good against Pajuelo.
First man to finish Lionheart. So that's something. All right. So main card, I got 3 out of 6. Gumby got 3 out of 6. This is where Gumby went in a little bit of a slump here.
A little funk here.
Prelims, lightweights, Trey Ogden. He looked fantastic against Kurt Hollibaugh. But
did he look Gumby, fantastic?
I think I'm Gumby's gonna... chalk. You're chalking this up to Hollibaugh didn't fight properly, but Ogden survived on the feet, is what I guess I'm saying. And then obviously dominated on the ground. Straight rounds, three rounds to none across the board.
And so for me, just the question is just like, it did not seem, I got no problem with Hollibaugh being taken down, right? Ogden's a good wrestler, but did it seem like he ever did, you know, like everything to get back up? And I don't know how much of that is Trey Ogden's control and how much of it was like, I'm willing to expose my back for 3 seconds in order to get back to my feet. Cause you know, you like have to do that in some circumstances, and you would have thought at least in the third round, you know, a round where he's already down 2-0 and needs a finish, he would have at least tried that. And instead, he just like was kind of flat on his back the whole time. So I like Kurt Hollibaugh. I loved his aggression. He looked better than Ogden on the feet, which is kind of what I predicted. I was just kind of upset that he sort of settled into grappling positions.
These things happen sometimes after a fighter talks to Gumby on his other podcasts. Sometimes weird things happen, right?
Yeah.
Weird things happen, dude. All right. Anyhow. I got that one, which helped put me ahead of Gumby. We both missed Ricardo Ramos. He got, swarmed again, but yeah, he got taken care of.
He didn't get swarmed. He was doing better.
Oh, it was the other way around. Right. Yes. He got swarmed. He was got himself caught in a gilly, our favorite submission. Head and arm throws in the main event, which is the women's equivalent of jumping gilly. But yeah, he got guillotined by Julian Arosa 2:15 into the first round. But yes, he was the one swarming. And then got himself countered.
I'm going to beat the crap out of you on the feet. Oh, hey, look, a double leg. And then like,
so often. How dumb that is happens that? So often with fighters. So, I'm going to switch things up.
And the thing is Ricardo Ramos continues. Maybe he's can be on that list of people who I can't figure out either. Because he continues to beat people he shouldn't beat. And win fights he shouldn't win. And then he also does this, you know, like when he fought Ayman Zahabi, right? Like he's one of the last guys to beat Ayman Zahabi. And Ayman was winning that fight, was beating the hell out of him. He throws a spinning back elbow, knocks him silly, and wins the fight. And like, he keeps winning fights like that and then losing fights like this one that he should clearly beat in Julian Arosa. So yeah, I don't know what to do with him. It was definitely just a lapse of fight IQ here.
Yeah. Definitely. Miles Johns came through, but yeah, you could see, despite the short notice, at the end of that fight, he was gassed the last minute and a half or so, but he hung in there, pretty much dominated the fight against Cody Gibson, who Gumby took a big swing at as the underdog, 30-27 across the board for Miles Johns. Just was the better fighter here.
Yeah, I thought Gibson was going to bring a little bit more pace to start and try to get to that tired version of Miles Johns a little earlier. And I think if he did, he probably would have had a better chance here. But it was just a little bit too late, and Johns hits a little bit too hard, I think. I think he was scaring him away from like prolonged exchanges with how hard he hits.
Yep. Jarno Ahrens, maybe he doesn't suck after all, Gumby. Maybe he
looks great. A good fighter.
He looked fantastic beating our pick, Stephen Wynn. Wynn did not win. 30-27 across the board. I don't know. Maybe if this was Aaron's knew his back was against the wall here, because if he got beat, that would have been 0-3 in the UFC. He surely would have got cut unless his name was Sam Alvey. And Wynn maybe some first time in the UFC jitters. But yeah, he just got outclassed totally.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more wrestling from Wynn, to be honest with you. Especially being that Aaron's is a kickboxer. I think I drew it up. I said I think Wynn's could turn this into a really boring fight, like he did on his second of his three contender series fights. But he didn't really have that game plan. I think he thought he could strike with him, and he didn't. So yeah, props to Aaron's. I mean, if he fights like that against people who will kickbox with him, he's fun to watch.
Yeah, Daria Zeleznyakova. She got over first time in the octagon jitters and took care of Montserrat Rendon 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. Just the better fighter on the feet, as we predicted. Rendon was better on the ground, but Zeleznyakova was safe enough to not get herself finished or anything. Even though Rendon has never finished anyone, so I guess that wasn't that hard to do. We had the newcomer at minus 200.
Did you think this fight was as close as some of the people in the Discord were calling?
Yeah, people in Discord seemed to really be off of Daria. I thought maybe it took her a little bit to get going, but she seemed fine in there.
Yeah, and the funny part of this, too, is that Sal D'Amato gave her the first round.
Of course he did.
And he didn't give her the second round, which was really weird. I think she definitely won rounds two and three, and regardless of how you want to score that fight, maybe she is a little bit worse than we thought she was, but she won. So,
yeah,
give her flowers. Give me my lock. And, let's talk about a different fight than that.
Yeah. And she's still young. Is she not? I think she's in her 20s.
She looks young.
Yeah. She looks young. She's 28. Just turned 28 starting the year. So yeah, you know, and women's bantamweight. So come on. You don't have to look like a world beater, for God's sakes. But yeah, she passed the first test in the UFC basically. So that's good. Hopefully, she looks like she did outside of the UFC and, you know, starts putting the striking pressure on people. The fight of the night clearly was, or the most memorable fight was, flyweight Andre Lima versus Igor Severino. Pretty even fight. I thought Lima was winning, and then he got bit really bad underneath, basically under, kind of between his bicep and his tricep. He was telling the ref as he was getting bit, he's pretty calm for a guy getting bit. He was just like pointing, like, "Hey, he's biting
me." Just looks like, "Hey, this might be a bite."
Yeah, and then Severino argued the whole time, saying he didn't bite him, even though there's clear, you know.
How could you argue that?
Yeah,
there's a bite on camera.
And there's a massive.
How else could he have put that on his arm?
Yeah, I know. I don't get it. But anyhow, Lima looked okay. He was celebrating a lot for a guy who just won because he got bit. But I guess he was doing pretty good in the fight to begin with.
Yeah, the weirdest part of that fight was Severino didn't look like he was that far behind. It didn't look like he was losing. It wasn't a desperation thing, or it shouldn't have been a desperation thing. Yeah, yeah, that's because like biting somebody is a desperation, right? Like, yeah. I think we can all agree if you bite somebody, how many times have we seen it in combat sports? Just Mike Tyson in what was the one on the Ultimate Fighter? Do you remember when the guy got bit on Ultimate Fighter? Johnny Manley got bit by James Cheney. When James Cheney was deep in a guillotine choke, if I'm not mistaken, and he like bit him on the rib down here. They let that fight keep going, by the way, which is delightful because it's the Ultimate Fighter and it's not really sanctioned. But like the only times I've ever seen somebody bite is because they're like way down losing and they're like, you know, they probably got a screw loose. A and B also just like decided that that's the best option for him at that point.
Yeah.
And so like, he didn't seem like that was the case. Even in the moment, he had back control. Rather, he was behind.
Yeah.
Lima when he bit
him. He wasn't about to be taken down. It was the other way around.
Yeah, he was in a good position, and he was like, "Let me just get a quick bite here." I don't know what to say. It was bad.
Yeah, interesting. And he's no longer in the UFC. And Lima got a tattoo of the bite. Script written around it, and then he got a $50,000 bonus from Dana White because Dana White is, as someone said, Dana White's like a grade 5 student and thinks it's cool to get a tattoo of a bite. So, so there you go. Lima is still, you know, interesting looking prospect, right? At flyweight,
yeah.
He wears cool hats.
He's exciting. He's got a fun hat.
Yeah. What more? That's basically all we asked for, and this event delivered it. So come on. The opener we kind of went through already. Mick Parkin, not a world beater, but better than Muhammad Usman, who could have finished him if he chose to finish him and throw some punches. But instead, every about a minute or so, he would throw a bad Superman punch that didn't come close.
Spinning back fist.
Spinning back fist and lost 29-28 across the board. He and no Oh, and he thought he won, which makes me hate him even more. He thought he won the fight. He was upset that he didn't win the fight. So obviously no self-awareness really makes me angry too. So I don't know if there's anything to say. Both these guys suck and Usman sucks. Usman sucks like the worst. He's really bad.
All right. Well, there you go.
Right?
I think you did it for me. I don't even have to say anything.
He is really, really bad. So one place that's not bad, as I transition again, Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets, revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. So that concludes our exciting event last night. I went, as we said, 7-6. I lost $173. Didn't hit any underdogs, sadly. Gumby, 5-8, down 524. On the year, I'm at 57%, which isn't good enough. I want to be at least 60. Gumby's at 55, which is right in the Gumby range, but he hits more dogs than I do normally. So, and he is. You're ahead of me by a little less than $22. So you're still in the lead.
I was worried I gave it back this week. Nope.
Yep.
Now we got some work to do.
Yeah. The fancy picks, we both hit one. Gummy hit his lock. Daria Z. He missed in Pahulo. He missed in Toffa via knockout, even though that came close numerous times. I missed in Quarantillo as my lock. I missed in Toffa as my dog. And I hit Shabazian via knockout. That was a nice prop. And then Huggy Man Jong, another side went through at UFC Bite Night. So, so that's that. Not a super, it's going to be a memorable event because of the bite for sure. As for the bonuses, fight of the night, Aaron's win because there was lots of blood. So obviously they're going to win a fight of the night because Dana White just bleed. It probably was the best fight, I guess. Performances, Peyton Talbot, Fernando Padilla, both got 50K, which is good. Those guys could use 50K, I'm sure, newer fighters. Bite of the night, Andre Lima. So everyone's going to be trying to get bit from going forward. So that was last night. We're moving on. The Octagon is actually on the move. It's going to our side of the world, the East Coast. UFC on ESPN, Blanchfield versus Fioro. I don't know who I'm picking in this fight before we even jump. We're not going to obviously break it down here, but
Have you seen the line movement? I haven't seen
any lines. So don't tell me. Unless you want to tell the listeners, then go ahead. You can tell them.
It's just kind of wild to me because it started at -110 apiece. That's been where it's been for like a week. You know, little movement one way or the other, but it pretty much always kept coming back to a pick 'em. And we got a -155 favorite now. I was looking at the odds this morning. Money is clearly coming in on Blanchfield. And Manon Fiorot's up to like +130, +135.
Do you know who you're picking yourself?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Was it hard for you to pick?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, like, it's a style fight, right? Like, at the end of the day, and we'll of course talk about this on Thursday and give you guys the full rundown, but like, it's a style fight in the way that, like, okay, if Erin Blanchfield can get the takedown, she wins that fight, right? And that's pretty much what you're picking against, because if she's on the feet, she ain't going to beat Manon Fiorot on the feet. Yeah. Unless you think she can just like grind her out against the cage. But like the path to victory is so clear in both avenues that I think you just have to ask yourself, are the takedowns going to be there? And what can Manon Fiorot do if she is down? And then you have your winner.
Yep. And as Gumby says, co-main event, obviously a lot of times tells you how good the event is. Pretty good co-main event. Vicente Luque, Joaquin Buckley. So this is a better event, obviously, than this past weekend's, because it's at the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. So the UFC actually is trying to sell tickets, which is nice. Other fights, Chris Weidman, RIP, versus Bruno Silva, Rusultan Ruzaboyev, Cedricus Dumas, Bill Augeo, Kyle Nelson, Chidi Anjikwani, Reese McKee, Nate Lamweir, Jamal Emmers, Verna Jandaroba, Lupi Godinez, the people's main event, Julio Arce, Herbert Burns, Dennis Bazooka, Herbert Burns is still around, great. Dennis Bazooka, Connor Matthews, the hockey player, Ibo Aslan, Anton Turkel, aka Pleasure Man. He's still around too, which is
great. Yeah, and that's a second fight too. That's Aslan versus Turkali too.
Oh, can't wait. Victoria Dudikova, Melissa Gatto, Andre Petrosky, our boy, Jacob Malkin, Angel Pacheco, Kyle Loughran. Thoughts?
A lot of weird underdogs in this one. A lot of fights. Where I went to be like, oh, I think I could probably get that person as an underdog, and that's exciting. And I looked, and they were like negative 200 favorites.
Oh, not good.
Or, you know, one I was expecting a negative 200 favorite, and I got a plus 170 dog looking at him. So, like, there's some weird lines out there for this one. So it's going to be fun to break down. Plus, there's a guy fresh out of prison. Who doesn't love that?
No, who's that?
Cedricus Dumas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm pretty sure he's out on bail right now. I could be wrong about that.
That's so UFC.
But I think he's out on bail.
He's such a Florida man. He's totally... Yeah.
I mean, what's a worse punishment? Go to jail or fight Rudzaboyev? Because that dude's gnarly.
Maybe he already was charged. Maybe he already was sentenced, and this was part of it. This was his quote-unquote community service. Get beat up on TV in front of people, right?
I like it.
Anyhow, pretty solid fight card, and Gumby is teasing us with some interesting lines. But I guess I was saying good about the underdog thing, but it's only good if you're in on the underdog. So it's not good if, it, like you said, if it's someone's minus 200 and in your eyes they shouldn't be. So anyhow, that will be this coming weekend. Before that, we got two regional episodes to cover, which you people love. As long as you keep loving it, we will keep doing it. So that will be tomorrow and Tuesday. In the meantime, Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord, SGPN MMA on Twitter, Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer. That's our handles. I'm Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram. Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast. Make sure you listen to that. MoneyMMA.substack.com is my Substack. Thank you everyone who has already subscribed there. The UFC Pick'em will be up and running again for this coming weekend's event, because it's actually a good event in a month full of not so good events. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. That's what you need to know there. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Juicy J, Jeff Fox, Karasina, Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you then. Bye.